Before we begin, I want to acknowledge we do have we mentioned this before, and it's a special birthday, but we definitely have a birthday this morning. Susie Wyborn. I'm not going to say the number because I get in trouble, but we did debate what numbers become special ones. Cecil Fielder's number. I don't know, somebody's going to have to talk to somebody next to you if you know Cecil Fielder's number. Pedro Martinez. That's consistent. I don't know why I just know what their numbers are now. All right. But I wish a very happy birthday to Susie today, and so thankful for her life and our body. And also, we got a bottle here? Okay. Because I thought we were going to have a brand new, we don't have a clock in here. I thought Jenna was going to be our new clock, because when she starts crying, that means I've gone over. But this has got the bottle, so yes, I got a little extra leeway. This morning, we're going to talk about, and we talked about this before, but kind of about a refresher, and maybe saw the little posters on the back wall when you came in. We're going to talk about the simple process and we'll talk about the hub. And this, where did that come from? And why do we have this wagon wheel? And why are we using it back there? And how does that all tie together? Why do we do what we do? Well, first let's start with, for some of you maybe not familiar with Hub or Heritage United Brethren history here. Actually, the wheel, or the cross, I should start with the cross, wasn't originally the symbol that was used by Christians. Not early on. For a 60-year period, it's only a 60-year period, but that's kind of a long time, the Romans used crucifixion. And so there were a lot of people that were crucified at that time. And not only the Christians didn't use it right away because not only were they celebrating the death of Christ, but also the resurrection of Christ. And so there were a lot of people who were crucified at that point. And the cross, some people might, my uncle Chaim or something was crucified as well. And so they didn't, it wasn't for a couple hundred years that they started using the cross. One of the things that they used right away was ichthus. And ichthus is a way that was the Greek word for fish. And the ichthus fish you've probably seen, it's made a comeback in the last couple decades, the Jesus fish you can see on people's cars and things. It was ichthus was fish, but also the was an acronym for Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior, the way it was written out. And another way that they would use that, they would show a symbol that would show people, okay, this is a Christian home, this is a place where Christians meet. And it was important to do that kind of secretively because this is a time where you could get killed, really, for being a Christian. They used a wheel. And this is kind of, this is one of the carvings, one of the places they found it. Found it all over in Israel, really. And Natalie Kramer has shown some pictures that she's seen over there of the wheel. I think this was some Ephesus. But you've got up here the symbols on the left, and then you've got the wheel on the right. And normally it would be an 8-spoke wheel like that one, so this one's close. But when you look at that, you've got these symbols. If you take those symbols on the left and you superimpose them on top of each other, you would get the wheel on the right. So the first one, letter would be I for iota, which is a Greek word for iosis, or Jesus, how they would say Jesus. So you can see how that would superimpose, on the kind of on the wheel there. And then you have chi, the first letters for Christos. Now in Greek, they would mark that as an X. So you can see how the X would be on there. And then you have beta, the first letter for theo, theos, for God's Son. Well, that way with beta, theo is the line, the circle with the line through the middle. You can see how that would superimpose on top of the wheel there. And then epsilon, the first letter
the Greek letter for sun, eos. So you go Y, you can see how that would fit on there. And then finally, sigma. And that was the first letter for soter in Greek for savior. So you have Jesus Christ, God's son, savior. Now I know when you say it with those Greek, it kind of, iota, chi, theta, epsilon, sigma, sounds like a Christian fraternity or sorority or something like that. But that was how they would represent it. So they'd have this wheel, it would superimpose all those letters on top of it. So this was an ichthys symbol. It's a Christian symbol. So that's where the wheel comes from. Now, we'll be talking about four today, which you can see represented. We got four wheels on our hub wagon. And so why four? And we'll look at, you'll see the four posters on the back. There's four is very significant in Christianity. Four is a number of stability. It's a number of completion. The Bible talks about four winds, four seasons, four types of soil, four horns on the altar. You have four points on a compass. You have four seasons of the year. Talks about the four corners of the earth. It's kind of like you have the four types of soil, because those are the four types of hearts, and that's all of them. When you have those four, you have all of them. You have the four winds, and we have the four gospels. It's completeness. It's a number of stability. So we use the four wheels together to have our stability of the things that God has planned for us. The things that we as Christians, we were in Open Gym on Friday, and we were talking, and one of the boys said, well, Jim was doing an illustration of eggs and making them into little people, and one person says, well, I know what this guy does, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, as a Christian. And this is a way of showing what it is that we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about these four, and then also I'm going to have three other people come up and talk, because we have, I don't know if I can move this point over, probably not, but at the center, right, of each wheel, usually you would have, as you see running through here, an axle. And so an axle is something that provides stability. It can keep things together so all the wheels aren't going in different directions. So all parts of the wheel work together. And in some more modern axles, it can provide power to the wheel if needed from the axle. And so we have four people, that are when we consider our ministry axles. Now, we'll look at it later, but on the back wall, just turn for just a second, because I couldn't make it happen here. But you'll look at when it says, know Christ, we're to grow in Christ, we're to serve Christ, and we're to share Christ. It kind of shows different little pieces of pie of the different ministries that we're involved in as a church in those areas, in knowing Christ, growing in Christ, serving Christ, and sharing Christ. And all of those come from two verses, primarily, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. When Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, is to know Christ, and love your neighbor as yourself, that is to serve. And to serve Christ, when we serve others, we're serving Christ as well. Matthew 28:18-21. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, by sharing Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when we baptize, we talk about growing in Christ, we grow relationally with others, and we grow in our relationship with Christ, kind of like with a cross, vertically and horizontally. So when we baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're baptizing people in God's family. We grow relationally. And then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So relationship, becoming more like Christ, growing in our relationship with God. And so, I'm going to ask each of our axles to come up in a moment. Now, myself, myself, and you'll look when you see those posters in the back, would be the axle for the knowing Christ. So I'll just speak briefly on that before I introduce the other axles. And we came up with that name axle because, no, I'm not done. We really want to make sure that, you know, the axle is something that supports the rest of what's going on. It's not leader, it's not grand poobah, it's not anything like that. It's just axle, you know, lending stability. And for knowing Christ, the idea there is coming to a knowledge of Him. And we love the Lord your heart with all your heart, mind, and strength. I know it's not a good example, but I always come back to this old like country song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I hate to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to
love
me. And to know Jesus is to love Him." You know, when we come to know Him, then we come to love Him. And it's about beginning a relationship with God. This is where people going from knowing about God to knowing God personally. When Jesus goes from being the Savior of the world to being my own personal Savior. And our main avenue for accomplishing that, at least corporately together, is our weekly worship. And we want to have an environment where people can have a fresh encounter with God. We want to have an environment where everybody is welcome and nobody is perfect and anything is possible. And we want worship service to not only just to be a cul-de-sac, you know, where, you know, okay, I come, I go to service, I go home, and that's it. But we want it to be an on-ramp to something more. You know, maybe that's to being part of baptism, or looking to be part of a membership class, or getting involved in service. In service to the body and to the outside community, which is what we're talking about today. So that's just a short description about knowing Christ. I'm going to ask our grow axle, because you can see these are kind of in order. We'll talk more about that later. But after knowing Christ and coming to a knowledge of Him, you want to grow in Christ. And Andy, could you come on up front and talk about that?
Sure. Growth has always been something I've always been very passionate about. That's the reason I've been in education, helping kids grow, now helping staff grow and kids. And academically, that's always been something very passionate about. And then spiritually, when I realized, wow, this all goes hand in hand, I care about myself, my own personal growth, my kids' growth, and in every area of life. You know, Tate, I want him to grow as a basketball player, and everything's about improvement. And in a church setting, how important that is. And with the scripture in Matthew 28 that Cal read off, you can really break that scripture down into two key components that create growth. Because you really need a formula to make growth happen. Like being a gardener or a farmer, for growth to happen, you need good soil and you need the right amount of moisture and the right amount of sunlight, or growth is not going to happen. So spiritually speaking, we have that same kind of formula for our own spiritual growth or church growth. And that comes down to fellowship and discipleship, just like that scripture is talking about. And that fellowship is really all about being a part of the family of God. And it's an eternal family. It's not temporary. It's not earthly. It's forever. That forever family of God. We're all linked together. And baptism is that representation of us being initiated into that family. And I looked up on an online dictionary this morning because I kind of wanted to see if someone didn't have a lot of church background, what baptism would mean to them. And it talked about an initiation or being implanted into a family. And I thought that was interesting because we all are linked in that way. And at that point, that family environment helps us to grow, just like our earthly
families help us to grow.
The discipleship part, that's all a process of becoming more like Christ. And I like what it says in Proverbs 27:17, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And that's, again, being part of that family, but the discipleship part of it is giving us information, learning together, reading together, praying together, and that information leads to transformation. And that transformation, again, speaks to that growth where we want to become more Christ-like and encourage each other on with this walk, this journey that we're all a part of. The other part of discipleship that I really have fallen in love with is this act of giving of yourself as much as you can to as much as what you can understand of Christ. Because it's never an end point. There's never a destination where you feel like, I've arrived. I now understand everything that there is about knowing Christ. And so as you continue to grow and understand more and then apply that and serve Him and share Him, just like all these wagon wheels are so interconnected. And so as you look at the posters towards the end of the service and you see the different ministries involved in each wheel, the growing Christ, to me, is the small groups, it's the youth groups, it's the Sunday school classes, the topical classes, it's those opportunities to get together and have dialogue and kick thoughts around and take what we've learned from Pastor Cal and share our own perspective on it or our own life experiences, get into the Word together, our Sunday school classes for kids, our vacation Bible school for kids. And so that, to me, is what growing Christ is all about. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Well, after we come to a knowledge of Christ and we grow in Christ, not only in relationship with others, but also in our relationship with God, becoming more like Jesus, then our outward expression of that to the world and also to Christ is when we serve and share Christ. So next time, ask Linda Schnauerock, where is our serve, Axel, to talk about something she knows about very well, service to Christ.
Well, our serve Christ ministry is kind of like watching this wagon get pulled along and it goes out of sight. You don't see the wagon anymore, you see the tracks. Well, that's kind of what that is, or just the tracks, that kind of behind the scenes kind of stuff. If you don't like to get up here and speak in front, if you don't, play a musical instrument or sing a song very well, or you're not very well aware of your kids, you don't feel like you can teach, we have a place for you in our Serve Christ. I think of this as kind of a laundry cast of the church. You know, nobody likes to do laundry, but it has to be done. If you don't take care of, say the facility, which is under this category, Serving Christ, it's going to eventually fall down, so it's kind of the non-flashy, the ordinary kinds of things. If it doesn't seem like it amounts to much, but our strength comes from praising God through these ordinary tasks. 2 Philippians says that we're to humble ourselves like Christ, we're to love each other like we love ourselves. So are we supposed to be servants for God? No. Jesus Christ's idea is that we serve Him by being the servants of other men. So He says that in His kingdom, that the greatest among you should be the servant of all. In fact, in Mark 9:35, it says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And then the true test came when He began to wash the disciples' feet, and He told them to do the same. We read about that in John 13. We have the incarnate God doing the most humblest of tasks, washing fishermen's feet. What a drudgery that would be. And then He says, if I, your Lord and Master, can do this, and have washed your feet for you, then you're going to wash another's feet. So that He's really saying, that doing these things that don't count in the eyes of men count a lot in the eyes of God. And that's really how I think of the service that we do. If you're willing to be spent and willing to spend time to be spent and to be not necessarily to be ministered to, but to help minister, then we've got a spot for you in this wheel. when you realize that Jesus has come and served us in all our meanness and our selfishness and our sin, then nothing can really exhaust your determination once you have that in your heart. Nothing can really exhaust your determination to serve Him like that. And so we're not serving out of a sense of duty. When the cleaning crew comes, you know, Susie and Julie and Linda and I, we're not really doing it out of a sense of duty, but we're doing it out of love that comes from our heart, because we realize, you know, God has done such great things for us. It's just, it's incredible. So don't consider whether you're going to be of use to God, you know. That's kind of an attitude that you get in your heart so that you end up determining what you want to do. But see where God wants to put you. And remember that you're not your own, you're His.
Thank you, Linda. And I know Linda would testify to this and many others as well. She talked about, well, wanting to serve others and not being served yourself. But I know a lot of times, strongest bonds or when you're serving alongside one another. I mean, most of my conversation with Ron Carter is like we're setting up chairs together or working on the PowerPoint and stuff back there, just serving alongside one another, and then we get to talk. So we know Christ and we grow in Christ, we serve Christ, but it isn't just for ourselves, and we're also called to share Christ. And so I'm going to ask Dan Spears to come up front and talk about that area, that wheel.
And I think as we share Christ, What people are looking for from us is to know that we're real. Is not, I think one thing that stops people from coming into the church who haven't been here is that they're afraid we're not real, that we're not genuine. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's what Paul says. And that's what we need to be able to communicate to those that we share Christ with, that we're real. And so how do we do that? How do we let people know that we are loved by God, created for a purpose, but that we're sinners and that we're real? I just want to give you one example of my real experience this week serving Christ. Shelby is kind of sort of on maternity leave, but on Tuesday I was subbing for her at the preschool. And I'm sitting in the circle of these little adorable preschoolers, and one little boy looks into my eyes and he says, "Do you know what you look like?" And I said, "What do I look like?" And he goes, "Rapunzel's mother." I think about that because I go, "Oh, thank you." And he goes, No, not the mother when she looks good. The mother when she's that evil to eat.
So maybe one of those things that I mentioned is something you might be interested in.
in. Or you might be sitting there going, well, I'm really passionate about going to the gym. Well, then you might want to start an exercise class or do something where there's an opportunity to meet people, to share your genuineness, not only your genuineness in your faith, but your genuineness in caring about others. And so another thing that we do is our upwards clinic. We have open gyms sometimes for the guys, I know, for basketball. Just the farmers market is a huge sharing Christ event that Bob and Linda coordinate, and they pour themselves into. Linda's an avid gardener. It's her passion. She has a PhD. Did you know she has a PhD in plant stuff? And so she wants to share that with others that come for the same reason. And God has provided so many opportunities to her to just be able to share her faith. Linda didn't plan out what I'm going to say to X person on X day. God gave her the opportunity just because she was sharing. And the final thing I just wanted to say about sharing Christ is that sometimes when we're sharing Christ, the most people will know in their lives about God or about even about our church here is what they know about you. Because they might not ever come into this church. But what you share and the life you live, they'll be watching and learning from. I have a friend that that I'm like Paul with. Like, whatever she's into, I want to be into for the opportunity to share. And if you notice, I barely got up here. Right now, she's into going to the gym. And I can barely move because of going to the gym. But praise God, every time we go, something will come up. Not something I plan, but something will come up where there's an opportunity to share my faith. You're shaking your head because you probably have that experience too. God does it. All we have to do is be available. And be willing to exercise our muscles.
Great, thank you, Dan. Does it say that on your diploma? Here's your plant stuff. Something bigger. All right, something Latin probably. But I was just thinking, and I thought this before, is Dan's going through those different ministries, whether it's a buck hole or it's a big crafting thing, or a number of the ministries we have is one person came up and had this passion. It wasn't a top-down, okay, decide this is the direction the church is going to go. It was a person who had a passion is following it, and then the church trying to get, you know, behind them and support them in that. So I'm going to show you something about when we're looking at the ministries later on. Don't be limited by what you see there. I guess we can see this process a little simply like this. I become a mature disciple in Christ. When I know Christ, I grow in Christ, I serve Christ, and I share Christ. And it's a circular process. You know, the end result of sharing Christ is hopefully that somebody else comes to know Christ. And then they start the process as well. And that process that, as Andy was referring to, doesn't come to fruition until we're in heaven and we're going to continue to grow and serve and share. Actually, we're going to continue to know, grow, and serve for eternity. Sharing is something we have this short window to do right now. That we have such a sense of urgency to be able to do that now, this window that we have, each of us has, and from this day until our last. So we can't skip steps in the process. Right? If you don't grow in Christ, then serving Christ is going to seem like a chore. And sharing Christ is going to seem like some kind of obligation, and not something we do out of the overflow of our heart. The plan, that's the plans of men, was to, at this point, hand out to you one of these, the Hub Ministry menu. All the different things that were back there that are listed, our axles are put together, ministry descriptions. You can see, hey, you know, this is something I might be interested in. This is the kind of, maybe even the spiritual gifts that were, you know, that might be good for each kind of thing. Well, what kind of time commitment is involved? What am I really signing up for here? Who would I be working with? We had a well-oiled machine with Andrew and Sam and I this morning, and we're about halfway through, and we're making the copies, and he's taking them out there, and Andrew's got the thing going, and we're going to get them all looking like this. And halfway through our well-oiled machine, well, we were working with a non-well-oiled machine, and we had actually three of them, and we couldn't get all the copiers to work. So I've talked with Charlie, and hopefully by tonight I'm going to try and get to her, and then hopefully early next week, we're going to have all this information online. Okay, so you can go to the Hub website and click through and look and see, you know, and you'll see some things on here that might not even be, you know, a ministry that we're currently doing, like a greeter, because, you know, refreshments coordinator, family needs coordinator. And it just lists all of them. And lists what's the task? What's the goal of that ministry? What are the things involved with it? Who would you be working with? Who would you be responsible to or responsible for? What kind of interests and abilities should you have for something like that? And the idea is that you would, through this week, go online and look at those things. I got this one put together. So somebody who really wants one, come get this one from me. But look at that. And then the next 3 weeks, after service, we're going to have the axles, people you just saw up here this morning, back in the back, standing by the poster, the axle that they're involved with, so that you can talk to them a little more. Like when I have a menu, I mean, my favorite, when you are you like this when you go to a restaurant, you want a menu to have what?
Pictures.
I got a picture, but I gotta see a picture of what I'm gonna eat before I order it. And the idea is for the axle to be back there to give you a picture for, give me a picture of what's really involved in this. Give me a picture of what's really involved in being part of this ministry or serving in this way or being a part of this kind of group, road group or thing like that. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're gonna have that happen and they'll be back there. But I wanna encourage you to go online, and I'm going to send out a church email about that since we went away from the paper thing. Yeah, I'm so glad that God's power is dependent on things like paper and stuff. I just got the thing this morning. The advent of the printing press just really exploded, you know, the spreading of Christianity. And our printing press just, you know, didn't do that this morning. But so glad that God's power isn't dependent on that or poster putty and all the other things that were failing me the last couple days. And another thing I want to stress is when you're looking at these things, especially you look over this poster all the way to the left, and it looks, and it kind of shows how all of the four wheels go together, you know, how they're connected. And you might even see some names up there. What I want to encourage you is, even if somebody's already doing, and a lot of these things, people are already doing these things, still express your interest in doing those things. I am working with the junior high kids. I would love it if somebody would like to do that or to do it, you know, with me, or, you know, it'd be great if we didn't cancel class every time I wasn't there. Sarah Osterley is working with as our treasurer. And she, you know, she would love to have times when there's parts of that job to be able to hand off, or somebody else wants to do it. We don't want the people that are involved in ministry to feel like they are stuck in that for eternity. Dan was mentioning Linda and Bob involved with the farmers market. I don't think you actually guys want any assistance. I mean, I know Julie works with you guys, but you don't want any more assistance, right? Yeah, exactly. So. The people that are doing ministry things, you know, you're not going to be stepping on any toes. Charlie faithfully serves up here and worship, but there's times when even she's not here. And if you have an interest in not only helping, but leading, that would be great too. I know I've even talked to her sometimes, you know, sometimes it's great to be able to sit there and worship in that way. And so there's a lot of things that are being done. please, it does, you know, just what is your interest and what is how's God leading you? And then next week, we didn't have it come up as an axle, but Tabitha is, and if you looked at that poster all the way over to the right, you'll see things in the middle. It's called Connections Coordinator. And Tabitha is helping to fill that role for us. And it's basically to help people, like, well, I have this passion or interest. I don't know if that fits in one of these pieces of pie or not, or how God would want me to channel that. So Tabitha not only leads a group of purpose-driven life, but also helping people to connect their passion, their hearts, and God's hearts, kind of coaching them through that whole process. So we're going to have her come up and talk about that a little bit next week. I didn't talk about this today, but Linda pointed out to me, you know, we've got our axle, we've got our wheels, we have our axle. These things are fellows. You looked at the little pieces of pie. You took the little parts where a piece of the rim is connected to a spoke, is called a fellow. And so we're looking for, and I know fellow sounds like, man, don't worry about that. You know, we've got Bob, and he is our facility person, and he is a jolly good fellow. And we have Sarah, who does the treasury, and she's a jolly good fellow. So it works both ways. So we're looking for fellows where the rubber or the iron meets the road. Let's have our worship team come on back up front. We're going to finish with singing Completely Done. And, when we talk about serving in different ministries, it isn't about what we do. This isn't trying to earn God's praise or acceptance. It's all the other religions you can think of are spelled D-O. It's about what we do. It's about what we attain, how we come closer to God, or earn His, or whoever's approval. But with Christianity, it's spelled D-O-N-E. It's done. It's about what Christ has already done for us on the cross, that He died for us while we were yet sinners. And we come back and serve Him out of a love response for what He has done with us, to walk in relationship with Him, to grow, become more like Him, to serve side and side, hand in hand next to Him, and to share with others, to give eyewitness accounts of what we've seen and heard. So let's stand together and